One of the other things that I need to do, very important, is be Makir Tov. And I'm being Makir Tov now to Rav Eliach Sr., who was one of my graduate school professors when I was doing my master's in education in Azrieli long ago, in a decade far, far away, in the 1970s.
Rabbi Eliach from Rambam?
Rabbi Eliach Sr. from Flatbush. He was a professor at Azrieli, what was then called Furkoff. And he introduced me, and I've mentioned this sefer a number of times, he introduced me to a sefer called Nativ Bina. And Nativ Bina is an amazing sefer. It's on the Siddur. And Rav Eliach said, I want to, it's all, of course, all in pristine Ben Yehuda Ivrit. I want you all to purchase this. This will be your companion for the rest of your life. It's that good. So I did, and he was right. So once again, I want to be Makir Tov. In Nativ Bina, on Birkat HaMazon, he brings a Sefer HaChinuch on the mitzvah of Birkat HaMazon. And it was very serendipitous because I was not aware of the power and the conceptualizations that the Sefer HaChinuch presents. Sefer HaChinuch is an anonymous sefer. We do not know till this moment who really the author was. There's several different possibilities. But one thing we have a pretty good bead on is that it was a 14th century work. Okay? And from Spain. That's what it appears.
Who lived at that time, who would have such a...
Well, usually, Rav Aaron of Barcelona is quoted as being the author. But we have no historical proof of such a statement. It's just that it was one of those deals that if you repeat it enough, people begin to believe it. Okay? But we don't have any real historical proof for it. Alright? I've been called to task a number of times in my drashot and so forth when I've mentioned that it's an anonymous sefer, and people say, ah, but what... But the truth is, it's anonymous to this moment. At any rate, the important thing is the following. We've been learning together, but I realized that since relatively maybe the first 6 months, beginning in 2012, that we were learning together, I haven't really gone through a full-blown conceptualization with you and a revisiting of why do we say brachot and why are we involved with tefillah? And by extension, why do we have Birkat HaMazon? As you have already suspected, the Sefer HaChinuch has the same question and addresses it here. What I did is that instead of presenting a page of text, which would have been very, very...
heavy.
Perhaps almost a little bit foreboding... Okay, to be honest with you. What I did is I broke it down into sections. The reason for that is hopefully we're all, including myself, going to be able to walk away with some very clear ideas. And there's so many ideas, even if we walk away with two or three and we integrate them into who and what we are, it'll be very powerful. All right. So one of the sections of the Sefer HaChinuch for every single mitzvah is what's called Mesharshei HaMitzvah. The roots of the mitzvah. And he goes through all of Taryag mitzvot, all the 613 commandments. And at the end section, or nearly the end section of all the 613 commandments, you have Mesharshei HaMitzvah. You have the roots of the mitzvah. And that's where we're starting right now. So, you'll notice some stuff is bolded, some stuff is underlined. And what I tried to do is, rather than painting everything with the same brush, give you a sense of, well, if it's underlined, it's important. If it's bolded, it's really important. Okay? So with that in mind, let's begin. Sefer HaChinuch says this, Hakdama, introduction. Now, this is now, to my knowledge, you have very few instances where he's going to the roots of the mitzvah section, where he gives you an introduction to the roots of the mitzvah section. That is already telling us something quite important. So he says this, Hakdama, introduction. Hello, behold, he got a tilacha b'ni. I've told you my son. And by the way, this is not a literary device. He wrote Sefer HaChinuch for his son. Just as the Ramban, in his very famous work, Igeret HaRamban, he starts out with Shema B'ni, right, quoting from Mishle, he wrote it to his son. Okay, how are you going to be able to be, quote-unquote, borrowing from the army phrase, all that you can be, okay, as a Jewish young man? That's what the Igeret Ramban was, whereas the Sefer HaChinuch was, look, the 613 commandments can be rather daunting. Let me give you an idea of how you can live them. So he says this, Halo higadati lecha b'ni b'meh shekadam ki l'shem baruch hu. That which comes first is to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shem Baruch Hu, right, the Holy One, blessed be He, Kol HaKavod, right, V'HaHod, V'Kol HaTov, He has all the honor, He has all the glory, and He has all the good, V'Kol HaChachma, and all the wisdom, V'Kol HaYecholet, and all the ability, V'Kol HaBracha, and all the blessing. Okay? V'Divrei Ben Adam, V'Kol Ma'asehu. If that's the case, right? Lashem, Hagadula, and all that, like we've seen many times, right? Hashem is all the greatness. If that's the case, V'Divrei Ben Adam, V'Kol Ma'asehu, Im Tov V'Im Ra, then the words of man, i.e., Tefillah, and Birkat HaMazon, and the Brachot, right, V'chol Ma'asehu, and everything that man does, man in the sense of the German term, right, man, which means one, which means a human being, and anything a human being does, Im Tov V'Im Ra, whether it's good, whether it's bad, or whether it's indifferent, Lo Yosif V'Lo Yigareya. It's not going to take away from Hashem, and it's not going to add to Hashem. So you already know, what's the obvious question? Right, as your grandmother would have said, two words, frivolous. How come we're doing this?
Why? It seems very obvious that, of course, all the glory goes to Hashem. I mean, this goes without saying.
Right. So one thing we know right away.
It's like the Shema, though. You just have to always reiterate that there is only one. He is above you.
Why?
Why? Because we're human.
Yeah, yeah. So you're almost there already. You almost have half the answer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're swimming in deep waters, but you're coming close to the surface. So you said, well, we have to repeat the Shema.
Right.
And I asked you why. Does Hashem need the Shema?
No, we do. Because we're humans, we have to reiterate.
And there we go. And that's exactly it. That's going to be the big answer. That, listen, if Hashem has all the kavod, and He has all the hod, and He has all the tov, and He has all the chachma, and He has all the ability, then Hashem doesn't need us.
We need Him.
Correct. So human beings need...
So if we wouldn't say it, we'd forget Him?
Say again?
So if we wouldn't say it, we'd forget Him?
Well,
I don't know that we would forget so much as that it would be a little bit... We would take for granted He may seem more distant from us.
Correct. Mm. Okay, and guess what? We all know the idea of familiarity breeds contempt. Okay? And there isn't anybody who didn't treat their spouse-to-be differently during dating than they did once they're married for a significant period of time, which is precisely why, and I think it's a very appropriate idea, we have, even in the Orthodox community, date night. So we can get back that magic, get back that excitement, get back the sense of you. I don't care which side of the table you're sitting at. You are very special. So, but as as Joan sort of intimated, if we don't remind ourselves, then what's going to happen between our relationship, in our relationship between Hashem and ourselves? Distance is going to be involved. Because at first, you may have this intensity, but it attenuates over time unless you keep making it revivified, make it come alive again. And that's very important. That's what we're going to talk about.
Sometimes if you're too comfortable...
Yes.
Also, you just take things for granted.
Yes. Or you're contemptuous of it. Familiarity breeds contempt. Right? In other words, as I say very often at a Sheva Brachot, right? I say, right now it's my chatan and my kala, he, she, the most handsome, the most beautiful, the most brilliant, the most fantastic. Right? And what's the biggest bracha we know is people have been married for a long time. What's the biggest bracha? Halavai amen. After Shana Rishona, you should feel the same way. And you should feel even what?
After 20 years.
And 40. You should continuously feel that way. Stronger and stronger and stronger it should grow. Right? But how does that happen? Because you work at it. That's what we're going to find out right here. So therefore, the Sefer HaChinuch, point one, okay, says this. Okay. Tzarichata lahavchin ki ba'amareinu tamid b'brachot baruch ata Hashem. And therefore, you see that all the time, okay, we need to ascertain why, all the time we're always saying baruch ata Hashem. Okay. O yitbarach. Right? As if we say in the Kaddish. So what's going on? Why are we saying Baruch Ata Hashem? It's not as if for one moment Hashem is sitting there like this, and you want to talk to me about what? It's not like he's waiting to hear Baruch Ata Hashem or Yitbarach V'Yishtabach. So what's going on? So he says this: Ein Hamashma'ut Lefi HaDomeh. It's not as it appears. Lahosif bracha, as if we were adding a bracha, a blessing, b'mi she'enenu tzarich l'shum tosefet chalila. It's not like we're... And you see how fundamental this is, guys? It's really good to go back to it. It's you shouldn't think for a moment that we're adding a blessing to Hashem who doesn't need anything additional. Hashem would be, you know, except that he wanted Klal Yisrael and he wanted the world. Could Hashem, theoretically, been fine without creating creation? And the short answer, of course, is yes. But he wanted creation, he wanted mankind, he wanted the Jewish people. But he doesn't need our brachot, right? He says, "She'enenu tzarich l'shum tosefet chalila." Why? This is something we know so well. Ki hu ha'adon ha'akol, because he's the master over everything. Okay? What does Avram Avinu describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as? L'keil ha'olam, the God of the world, the God of the universe. And why? And which leads very quickly to, in Ashkenazi circles anyway, Adon Olam. V'chol habrachot, okay, hu mechadesh otan, hu mitzian me'ayin. And all the brachot that exist in the world, he was the borei and is the borei ha'olam. He creates them and brings them into existence out of nothing. Here, by the way, this, you don't get very nervous. It's not that he suddenly became totally Kabbalistic, because the Gemara itself uses the word hashpa and mashpia. And he causes an overflowing of this flowing from Shemayim. Okay, ba'asher tiyeh sham ritzono hatov. Only because and solely because what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beneficent. And, right? The word beneficent is obviously Latin. You've all heard in some point in your life, nota bene, note well. Bene and beneficent means well. So it's because of God's great kindness, his beneficence to mankind. That's where we get all of our brachot. Therefore, now comes the big idea. Okay? Tzrichin anu lechapes kavanata inyan mahu. And therefore, we really have to exercise our intellect and try to search out what is the underlying conceptualization scheme as to why, in fact, we do what? We say brachot and we say tefillot. I think it's very refreshing. And our class, I think, is a beautiful place to do this. I hope you feel the same, because I'm excited by it. V'lo notzi zmanenu b'meh she'ha'esek bo tamid mebli havana bo klal. And you know what? He says, our time should not be one of those times where we walk around always without any understanding of this matter whatsoever. Okay? And let's face it, you have a lot of times people say, if you ask a lot of people who've been davening their entire life, why do you daven? Mm-hmm. You have to daven because Hashem says so. Okay, why do you say bracha? Because you're supposed to. Okay? Now, is there anything wrong with those responses?
If somebody's really searching for an answer, you're leaving them hanging.
Correct.
And they might choose to go look elsewhere, which will not be giving them the proper answer.
Correct. And not only that, wouldn't you feel, I mean, I know you don't feel this way because we've done so much work together and we've learned so many important things together and you've asked so many outstandingly creative questions. Okay, so you would never answer that way. But there's a lot of people who would, and says the Sefer HaChinuch, let's not be on that level, let's go deeper. So here we go. You can always ask a question.
You may have something. But who actually wrote the brachos?
Chazal.
So they did all the brachos, Hamotzulachem, and...
Every bracha has the matabeya. It's got the formulaic statement from Chazal. Even V'achalta v'savata v'rachta tadoshem elokecha la'aretz asher natan lach, that's a narrative. It's not a bracha. Okay? And the only other brachot from the Torah would be Birchot HaTorah, which we all studied in great depth. Okay? And there isn't even a pasuk that says, and thou shalt bless Hashem before you learn Torah. If you remember, Chazal learned it out from Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elokeinu. I call upon Hashem, and it's a pasuk in Sefer Devarim. Okay, so Chazal established the form of every single bracha, which is, by the way, why we've already seen many, many times why Nusach Ashkenaz will be different than Nusach Sfarad, and Nusach Sfarad will be different from Edot HaMizrach, and all three of them will be different from the 14th century formulation from Rome, because not only did we have the original Matbeya, the original form, but then it's evolved.
Because some have Asher Kiteshanu and some don't.
All up to Chazal. And when it says Asher Kiteshanu, that's a Birkat HaMitzvah. Right? He commanded us. Okay, that wouldn't really, which is, makes sense, for example, before we do Netilat Yadayim. Right? That makes perfectly sense. But you wouldn't say, Asher Kiteshanu Mitzvah Tzivanu Le'echol Et HaLechem. That wouldn't make any sense at all. Right? Okay. With that as a preamble and a prologue, let's go forward and let's see what it says. Yidu HaDavar Mufursam Ki Hashem Baruch Hu. Okay? The matter is known and it is publicized that Hashem is. And notice, by the way, and we have nine different things that are being said. And what I did is, you'll see every once in a while there's dots and so forth, dot, dot, dot. I only selected out the part that I thought hopefully would stick with us. So that's what he says. So the first thing we're talking about is that, and I promise I'm not going to wax terribly philosophical with you guys tonight, because that's not my goal. My goal is to really focus on our original question. So the first thing is that Hashem is Poel Kol HaNimsa. That, what does that mean? Hashem is the actor, and he who brings about all that exists. Okay? That's what Poel Kol HaNimsa means. Poel is the doer, literally. Okay, a poel in modern Hebrew is a worker. Okay? Mahu, mahavada shel shlomo, ahu poel. Hu mamshich davar mi poel po. Take something from here to there. Okay, from here to here or whatever. So a poel. So Hashem is the worker. He's the cause behind all that exists. Number one. Number two. Ubara ha'adam. Created man. Vihishlita aha'aretz. Okay, and he caused man. Could notice the words he uses here. Hishlita. Right? Remember your diktuk. It's hefil. Causes. Okay? He causes man to have shlita. What's shlita? What?
Rule.
Control. I'll call al ha'aretz over the entire world. I'll call a Shabbat and everything, right? That's there. Okay? Now, also, the hishlito, it's also Hashem's rule. Okay? Okay? So the question is really hishlito, are we talking about the shlito of Hashem or the shlito of man? It's kind of up for grabs in terms of the pronoun here. But one thing is, if you want to go that all is talking about Kutcher Richel, then you would say this, Bara Adam, created man. Vihishlito, and Hashem's power of ruling is over the entire earth and over everything that's in it. Okay. Three, Umemido Tav Baruch Hu, and his characteristics. Okay. Now here, I do have to get a tiny bit theological. Here, the Sefer HaChinuch is clearly not buying into the doctrine of negative attributes that the Rambam presents in the Sefer Morim Nevuchim. The Rambam says very, very clearly that we can't talk about Midot of Hashem. It's impossible.
I was going to say, what are his characteristics?
Correct. Because...
I mean, other than when you say Hashem, Hashem, Kaleach, Mechan, and Erech.
Right. And how can we say that?
Because we know what he does.
Right. Because we know what he does. And if the Torah didn't say Hashem, Hashem, Kaleach, right, we would not be allowed to say that. But the way the Rambam explains it is that Hashem does all of those things. Okay? By the way, I find, I don't know about you, but I find Kel Rachum V'chanu Nerechama, I find it to be one of the most comforting phrases in the entire Torah. Sometimes when I have trouble falling asleep, I will say that to myself over and over again until I fall asleep. I don't know what the last word is I say. I have no idea because I fall asleep. But I find it that comforting.
Say what? When Yantif pulls out on Shabbos, how come we don't say it?
I don't have an answer for you that's a good answer right now. But
bad
I don't want to give you a bad answer. It's like one of you asked me a couple weeks ago about Zimun. Okay? And Zimun, you know, like, it's as big as this building. I'm not going to give you a bad answer. You know, if you want something that's half baked, you got to go to a pizza store. You know, mochi Pesach, right? Then you will have something half baked. Okay, all right. No, you don't have to be so worried. All right, next. All right, Umimido Tav Baruch Hu. All right, and Hashem's characteristics. May He be blessed. So, what do we know? Shehu Rav Chesed, that He is great with chesed. I recently saw in the thought of Rav Soloveitchik means the idea of overflowing. Now chesed, overflowing, can be for the good as well as for the bad. Mm-hmm. Okay? How do you know? Well, if we say ki le'olam chasdo, like we're going to be learning in Birkat HaMazon, so that's got to be positive. Mm-hmm. You know, His kindness is forever, and that's wonderful. And does Hashem have to be kind? No, Hashem doesn't. Hashem is not contingent, right? He's not contingent on anything. He doesn't have to do anything. unlike you and me. Right? Can you and I decide, that's it, I'm not breathing. Forget it. Okay? Can't do that. But Hashem is simply non-contingent. He has nothing like that. But so he overflows with kindness. That's what it is. On the other hand, just last week, when we were talking about the prohibited relationships, so when it came to a brother and a sister, the Torah says explicitly, can't do that. Ki chesed he. What do you mean chesed? It's an odd word. No, but it's overflow, but it's overflow in the wrong way. And we've already done this one many, many times, like harayat mukadeshet li, yet a woman of bad morals is called a kadesha. Okay, because she set aside for something ill and terrible, whereas when a man says to his wife, harayat mukadeshet li, he's setting her aside for kedusha. Right? So it's an interesting word. So anyway, so Hashem is Rav Chesed, for who chafetz betovat briotav, right? And he desires the goodness for all of his creatures. V'rotzeliotan ru'in, and he wants them to be fitting, v'zakin, and capable, l'kabel tova mito. Very hard to do all that on an empty stomach. Right? And besides, as Jackie Mason once said, the famous joke, what did you say when they get off an airplane? Where do we eat? Okay? Where do we eat? So it's very hard to worship Kutcha Brichu, right, if you don't have what you need. So therefore he says, V'zaki l'kabel tova mito. He wants us to be able to receive all the tova. V'zeh be'emet mishleimuto baruch hu. And this is all of his perfection. Okay? Now, do we understand Hashem's perfection? No. Right? It's the classic problem that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and Kuzari discusses. How can the finite know the infinite? But at any rate, one thing we know is that we're not Shalem, and Hashem is Shalem. Whatever that means when we use the same word about Hashem. Okay? Kilo yikare Shalem betuvah, says the Sefer HaChinuch, that you can't call HaKadosh Baruch Hu perfect in his goodness, rak mishu meitiva acherim zulato. The only time a person, or in this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could be called perfect is what? If he's good to others other than himself. Very interesting idea in terms of what we call chesed.
But isn't that us?
Right, it's us. But how can we develop our midot? By being really authentically good to others. Right? We're not people who just sit there on the top of a mountain and think about, right, something like, wouldn't it be nice to do good? No. What do we say? We say, I'm doing good. Oh, it wasn't the best I could do, so I'll do better. But at least I tried.
So what about if you think it's the best you can do?
Okay, if you're honest to yourself that it really is the best you can do, yes. Okay, like I once had a student who was very, very upset if they didn't get at least a 95 or above. And once I gave him a 95 on a test, and crestfallen. And I called the student over after class and said, Noo, what's going on? Why are you so unhappy? You got a 95. It was the highest mark in the class. You don't understand, Rabbi. When I go home, my parents are going to say to me, why didn't you get a 96, a 97, a 98, a 90? And then I looked at, and the kid was like, tears. So it was a real moral dilemma. I'm not going to change the paper. He deserved a 95. And that would not be right because it's the wrong message on that side. But I had some interesting words with the parents on Parent Teacher's Night, and I expressed at least my views as a parent and a teacher why that may not be the best approach. Okay? So you can never be perfect, but what you can do is your personal best. And that's important.
So you did your personal best there, Rabbi, because you were Hashem's instrument to make that child feel better.
I tried. But that's what I said to the
kids. It's all
parents didn't see that.
No, yeah. I mean, I don't think the parents knew the level of anxiety, consternation, pain that they were causing this child. So at any rate, Ein Safek Baze Lo Kol Ben Da'at. And here's the interesting words that he uses. Everything I just told you, nobody has any doubt about it, if you have any intelligence at all. That's what he just said. Next, point four. V'achar ha'askama zu. And after we've come to this point, it almost sounds like he's translating the famous Yiddish phrase, right? Kumtos and all that. Okay? She'edanu b'chiyuv merov shlemut tuvo, that we know, right, for sure. Chiyuv means, in a sense, not obligatory, but we know in a positive way, the shlemot of his goodness. She'chafso laharik aleinu mibirchato, that he wants us, on a certain level, which is interesting, lashon, what does the word reik mean? Reik means empty. So he wants us not to have everything that we need without our being participants in getting what we need from him. Yes. Okay? There are no free rides. There are no silver bullets. If you want to have X, Y, and Z in this world, and you're religiously oriented, so you need to have a relationship with Hashem. Because who notain lechem? He's not going to, you know, he's not going to do that, right, unless you have a relationship. So it's very interesting. The word reik is an interesting word, because where does it come up, the most famous place, right? It's by Yosef, right, the bor reik. And what does Rashi say? Right? I mean, sorry, the Chumash goes, V'ar bor reik, ein bo mayim. So Rashi said, yeah, what was in there? There were spiders, and well, I don't want to scare my wife. But there were all kinds of terrible things that were in that boar. Okay? All right.
How do you know it's reik and not rock?
Well, because it's a yud, reik.
Am I looking at the wrong place?
Lamin hei reish yud kuf.
Four?
Number four.
Where your
Shechav
Sol.
The first one.
Right?
No,
okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right? Now, so Ne'emar, from here we can say, She'inyin ha'bracha she'anu amrim lefanav. Now this deserves a star and great focus. Therefore, the entire matter of the bracha that we say before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Chaya, you hit the nail on the head before, and Nenu Rak Haskara, and Joan, I think, also discussed this a little bit. It's nothing other than a mention, La'orer, to excite Nafshenu, our souls, B'divrei Pinu, by giving voice to this thought. So who's the bracha really for?
It's for us.
It focuses us. It changes us. And we become different because we say a bracha and because we say tefillah. And we recognize that we're completely, to quote Rav Soloveitchik, because words that you've heard me say before, completely, totally, absolute, 100% dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the point that Rav Soloveitchik really did say that if you're going to get up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say Shema Esrei, as if you're propitiating him, as if you're playing let's make a deal, sit down. He didn't exactly use those words. What the Rav said is, if you're going to get up in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and act as if you're not dependent upon him, you ought not to daven. That is what the Rav said. Okay? So, yeah, go ahead.
What does somebody do when they don't have it? They don't feel like, you know, I'm standing before, you know, the master of the universe, king of all, me, everything, and you just don't feel the right kedusha. What do people do?
First of all, I think it's very sad. And and that's precisely what Sefer Chinuch was talking about in that first underlined section at the end of 1, where he says we ought, basically, how would we translate that idea into 21st century words? Don't be clueless spiritually. Right? Right? Don't be clueless on a spiritual level. Ki hu ha-mevorach u-mevurach. Because he is the one who bestows a blessing and the one who is blessed. Yachlo kohatovot. And he has all that is good. Hashem's got everything. Okay, you ready? So the big idea so far was what? Why do we say davening and brachot? To excite us. To be, literally, you want to be a little old-fashioned? To bestir our souls. Okay? So that we can recognize me'et Hashem hayat hazot, like we say in Hallel. He niflat be'einenu. Right? U'mitoch et orarut hatov hazeh. And then, once we have this excitement on the spiritual level, v'nafshenu in our souls, v'yichud machshavatenu, and we have basically focused our thoughts, right? Lahodot elav, to give thanks to Hashem. Shekol atovot klula bo, and that we thank Hashem for having provided us with each and every manner and variety of good. V'hu ha-melech aleihem, and he is the king over all of them. L'shalchein, to send them forth. Akol asher yachpots, upon all whom he desires. So you ready? Anu zochim b'maaseh hatov aseh. Then this is really truly beautiful. Then once we have that level of recognition, then we have the zechut through that level of recognition, to bring down, as it were, this almost sounds Hasidic, right? To bring the shefa, to bring down from Shemayim the good upon us. What a beautiful, isn't this beautiful? Mm-hmm. I hope you're as excited as I am, and this is amazing. V'achar haskara, and after this mention, v'hoda'azu lefanav, and after mentioning it and thanking before him, then and only then, anu mevakshim mimenu. This is just like what everybody, the Shemona Esrei. Shavach, then hoda'ah. Right? Shavach bakasha, and then hoda'ah. That's what he's saying. V'achar haskarat v'hoda'azu lefanav, then anu mevakshim. Remember, then we ask from him, Ma'ashanu tzrichim, right? What do we need from Hashem? So, not too surprising, is one of the most important thinkers in all of Jewish history in terms of mitzvot. What's the first thing he puts down? Does he put down parnasa? No. Da'at, right? Wisdom, knowledge. Oslicha, lavanotenu, slach lanu, kaper lanu, machal lanu, right? O refua, good health. O osher, or wealth, the Choldovar. Notice his order, though, that he puts things down. Again, it's interesting. The order speaks volumes. All right. Next. V'chein, achar ha-bakasha.
Do it differently.
Say again.
Because without refuah, you don't always have da'at. Because when you're sick, you don't think of things.
Oh, believe me. Believe me. In fact, I remember I had pneumonia once. Something that I wish upon no one except the worst varieties of people one could imagine. I felt like whenever I got up, I was walking around with an axe in the middle of my head. I couldn't think about anything. So I remember lying in bed, and I said to Arlene, I said, would you just read some Pirkei Avot to me? Mm-hmm. I can't even pick up the Sefer. And that's how terrible.
Even though you were so sick, you had the knowledge to even think about Pirkei Avos.
Yeah.
Most people, I mean, when I'm sick, I just like close the door, just leave me alone.
Yeah. Well, I was well enough to ask. But there have always been times where people aren't that fortunate, for sure. At any rate, v'chein achar bakasha, after the request mimenu, then anu chozim mimodim. So it's just like what? Shmon Esrei. Then we come, we turn and we give thanks. Elav bezeh, right, for everything. Lomar ki mimenu yavo aleinu, that we, for Hashem bringing everything to us. Vezehu p'ticha v'chatima shel brachot, and that's why you have many, many brachot that start with Baruch and end in Baruch. Pen nechshav, right? Because what do we not want to be thought of? Think again, Pirkei Avot, right? Al tovod Hashem, like an eved, right? Who's looking for what? A pras, right? You don't want to be like that. But rather, pen nachshav ke'eved. So we shouldn't be thought of as like being a servant. Shenatal pras, who takes a present, a gift, merabo, from his master. V'holeich lo b'lo reshut, right? Commit ganev. That then he leaves him, right? Quickly, right? I'm thinking, of course, Esav, right? Mm-hmm. Right? When he gets the bowl of porridge and all that, you know, doesn't say thank you. Just doesn't say a bracha. Just eats and psh, he's gone. So then, if a eved would do it before his master, it'd be blow reshut without permission, commit nagev. It's as if he stole. We don't ever want to be in that position. Mm-hmm. And you ready? Again, this is why it's bolded now. You notice it's only a little bit bolded. The nimsa lefi hanachat ta'am zeh, based upon this conceptualization, sheyeh baruch to'ar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say about him baruch, it's a description. It's not that we're telling him, may you be, right, mevurach, but rather we're saying, you are baruch. It's, so to speak, right, at least for the Sefer HaChinuch, part of his identity, okay? We, even though the Rambam would turn over in his grave for that, but nonetheless, for the Sefer HaChinuch, that's what he's saying. Klomar, hoda'a elav ki hu kolel koha brachot. We give thanks to Hashem because he is the entity that has all the brachot. Okay, next, we only have two more to go. And of course, next week we'll get to the Birkat HaMazon proper, Im Yirtzeh Hashem. U'b'lashon yitbarach. And in the lane, so now we looked at so far at what word? Baruch. Now we're looking at yitbarach. Okay? U'b'lashon yitbarach, shano maskrim tamid shuhu mehitpalel. It's from the verbal form of a hitpalel. In other words, it's he is blessed, he is in and of himself blessed. He blesses himself, okay, so to speak. Ne'amar shehakavana bo she'anachnu mitchananin a love that we supplicate ourselves before him, right? We throw ourselves at his mercy. She'yeh radson lefanav, that it should be Hashem's desire l'savev lev briotav, to turn to the hearts and the needs of his creatures, liot nachon lefanav, so that we can be proper and fitting and, as some of you pointed out so well, have enough food and enough of the basics of life, so that what sheyodu hakol elav ubo yitalalu, so that we could thank him for everything and praise him. V'zehu peirush yitbarach. That's what yitbarach means. Klomar. Now this is beautiful. This is by the way. More revolutionary than evolutionary in terms of what he says. Klomar, it's as if when you say Yitbarach, you're saying to Hashem, may it be the will before you, Shekol B'nei Ha'olam, that all the people of the world, you, Miyachsim Habracha Elecha, will be able to connect everything that's going on in their lives for the good, right? To connect that bracha to you, Umodim. And recognize that from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything comes. Okay? Let's finish it up. V'im hoda'at akol b'zeh, and by recognizing all of this, tanuach birchato ba'olam, then Hashem's going to be so, in quotation marks, pleased with our actions, then his bracha will be in this world. V'yushlam chefso, and it will, in a sense, complete his desire. Shehu chafetz, that he desires. What is Hashem's great... Why did he invent us? Why did he create us? Look at these next words. Lehetiv. He wants to be good. He needed something to be good too. You know, it's very hard to do that with a mountain. Okay? Kamo shamarna, like we said. V'tishlam achifetz, tachlit koha mevukash. And therefore, he will fulfill his desire with the ultimate purpose of providing that which we request from him. Okay? Final, we get to the if this was a symphony, this is the grand finale. Umin ha-shoresh hazeh, based upon this underpinning, conceptual underpinning, hu ma she'amru zichrono levracha. This is what Chazal said, a very famous Chazal. Okay, you all know that the Imaot were all initially sterile. In fact, Sarah didn't have a womb, okay, according to the Medrash. So what's it say? Shakadosh Baruch Hu mitaved el tefilatan shel tzadikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is greatly desirous of the tefillah of the tzadikim. You've heard that so many times. Ready? Here's his explanation. Lomar. Oh, by the way, we may not be tzadikim, but I guarantee you one thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu is desirous of our tefillah too. Lomar shechavso. That is to say that Hashem's desire, shiyasu pu'ula, that we should perform an action, shiyizku ba lefanav, so that the avot would merit before him, v'yamshichu alehem, and bring upon themselves mituvo, from his good, ki chafetz chesed hu, because Hashem is desirous of what? Of doing chesed. And he wanted to provide them in bebirkato from his blessing, mirov shleimuto, because of his absolute perfection, like we've already said. You ready? And here's the final words. That's the big takeaway of the night. Vezehu hashoresh hagadol, and this is the great root of understanding. L'kol asher yaseh adam tov ba'olam hazeh, in regards to all the good things that man does in this world. That this is his reward, me'et Hashem, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shemashlim chefso, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in some way, even if we, now I know some of you are saying, well, it's not always so great, Rabbi, and, but that's only because, as we've said so many times, what? We don't see the whole picture. For real. Okay? Ba'asher hu rotzeh betuvatan, because he wants their good, shabriyot, of all of creation. So that's the idea, and we're going to see this next week. Hu noten lechem l'chol basar. Doesn't just say to Klal Yisrael, doesn't say to this group or that group. It's to everyone. So halavai amein. We will think about some of these ideas. Hopefully you found them transformative in some way. And the next time we daven, and the next time we say a bracha, hopefully we'll be able to look at it in an entirely different way.
Thank you.